So good to see each of you this evening. We're thankful that the Lord has allowed us to come back tonight to worship Him. And as we're here, we do want to remember all those that are homesick. We've got several in our congregation that have this virus that's going around, and pray that none of us get it, but we pray that they get to feeling better very, very quickly. I ask you, if you will, to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. In your pew Bibles, that's in the Old Testament, page 580. Isaiah chapter 43. But Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah is writing to the people of Israel. They've been in captivity, and God's about to bring them back. He's about to do a great thing in their midst, a new thing in their midst. And Isaiah is writing concerning those events and the things that are about to take place. And I want us to look at verse 18 and 19. We'll look at the first several verses of the chapter eventually, but for a text tonight, it'd be the verses 18 and 19 as God is speaking to His people through the prophet Isaiah. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer one more time, please? Father God, again, we acknowledge we're not heard for our much speaking, but we have a great need within us this evening, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds, our understanding, as we study Your Word together. Lord, as we are, again, bringing this year to its conclusion, and if it be Your will that we enter into the new year, seeing that, Lord, we're facing a clean slate, a clean chapter in our lives, and Lord, help us to look to You and to realize that You are the one, Father, that we need in all things and in all matters. And so, Lord, tonight as we look at this text that was written so many hundreds of years ago, Lord, we can find application in our lives tonight as we would look at these passages and examine them, we pray, through the Holy Spirit. Father, again, we thank You, we love You, and we ask You to forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I want to read the text one more time. There's certain things that I found that I have difficulty remembering at times. Sometimes I'll be in the middle of a sentence and the word just escapes me that I'm wanting to say. It just seems to get away from me. And in this particular passage, God is saying to His people, there's something that I don't want you to remember. There's things in the past that I want you to let go of. There's things in the past that if you hold on to them, they're going to drag you down. If you hold on to them, they're going to tear you up. They're going to tear you apart. I want you to let go of them, He says in verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? As we're looking into the new year, that's my prayer. As the Lord blessed us to be able to come here back in September, my prayer then was that it would be a new beginning, that it would be a time of renewal, of refreshing, a time of reviving, a time of starting over in the service of the Lord, and to be able to do the things that He would have us to do, and to be able to walk with Him in a close way, in a manner of enjoying the fellowship with Him. There's some things that we want to hold on to. There's some things that we want to remember. There's certain things that give us joy as we think back upon them, and times of our life that are very special that we want to hold to. But God says there's some things that we just need to remember no more. Because you see, for many of us, if not for all of us, we all have times when we failed. We all have times when we've fallen short of what we would want to be and what we would hope to be, and we're just not satisfied with how that we went about trying to accomplish something and maybe didn't achieve the goal that we were looking for. And if we hold on to those things, Maybe there's a learning process that comes about that, but more times than not, if we allow that to just linger, then it distorts the way that we look at life. Sometimes we make promises. This is the time of the year that I appreciated the resolution that was told me as was going out the door this morning. Not gonna keep any resolutions this year. But this is the time that we make resolutions. This is the time that we renew and look at ourselves, look at our lives and say, this is what I want to do and this is what I want to accomplish. And a lot of times we're not able to keep them. Sometimes we make a resolution January the 1st and by the 2nd or maybe even by the afternoon of the 1st, it's already been broken and already going on to something else. Sometimes we experience failures and setbacks. And God says to those things, don't dwell on those things. This is what He's telling, because Israel had messed up bad. Israel had fallen into idolatry. Israel had turned away from God. Israel had walked in the way of the world and the ways of the other nations that were round about them. They had brought idols in, even to the city of Jerusalem, and set up idols on the street corners. And they would worship those idols. And as a result of that, God says, I'm going to get your attention, and I'm going to get it by allowing a nation come in and take you over. And that's when they were carried off into Babylon. And there they were for 70 years in captivity because that they had gone away from the Lord. But God's grace is so wonderful and so mighty that as He's talking to them about this now through the prophet Isaiah, He says, don't remember that. Don't remember that. Remember that no more, because I'm about to do something new. I'm about to spring forth something in your life, something in your nation. And you know, honestly, I think that most of us have that thought about our nation now. We're ready for a springing forth of something that's new, or something that is, and I'm not talking about change. Maybe I am talking about change, but change back to the old paths and the ways that God would have us to walk. But change just for change's sake, I think that we've seen that doesn't always work. But God says, I want you to forget about those things, and I want you to look ahead. I want you to look straight forward in the path that I want to lead you, and I want you to stay focused upon those things. And that's my prayer for all of us as we are about to enter into a brand spanking new year that doesn't have anything written upon it. Although my calendar already is beginning to fill up with things, but as far as the days go, there's nothing on any of the days yet that would mar it, that would cause it to be all crinkled and all dirtied up. God says, I'm about to spring forth something new in your life. So forget about the past. You know, Jesus put it this way. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. What happens when we look back? You start straying in whatever direction you're looking. I remember, though it's been many years ago, but I remember when Daddy was teaching me to drive, and he let me drive home from church one night. And this was, I'm talking about a 35-mile drive, which for a 15-year-old with learner's permit, that was some long driving. And I remember him telling me, don't look at the headlights approaching you. And that stuck with me all these years. Don't look at, well, why? Why would we not look at the headlights? Because you go where your eyes go. You go in that direction. And so you go right directly toward those headlights if you keep your eyes upon them and focused upon them. So God is saying, don't look back. Don't stay focused on the mistakes. Those are behind. Look ahead. Look forward. Now, as He's telling them this, He gives them, look in the passages that I read at the beginning of the service tonight, starting with verse 1, He gives them some encouragement. He gives them some counsel. He gives them some reminders to hold them in the path that He's going to lead them in. First one is in verse 1. But now, you see, yesterday was yesterday. This morning was this morning. This afternoon was this afternoon, but now is now. Can't change a thing about this afternoon or this morning. Can't really do anything about tomorrow because it's not here. But now, he says, right now. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. And I don't want to get really caught up in any of these particular verses, but just a little bit about this. He's referring to Jacob and Israel. That's not two different people. If you remember, that's the same person. When Jacob was born, he was given the name Jacob by his father Isaac. There were twins, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a swindler. He was a cheat. He would get ahead by any way and any means that he could. If he thought it was going to profit him in any way, he would do it. Until God got a hold of him. And God began to deal with him, and God began to work and to move in his heart, his mind, his life. And the first thing that God did for Jacob was, he said, I want you to go back to where you were concerning Esau. Because the last thing that he heard Esau say to him was, if I ever see you again. Esau said to Jacob, remember Jacob cheated him out of his birthright. If I ever see you again, I'm going to kill you. That's some harsh words coming from your brother, isn't it? But that's the last words that he heard, and God says, I want you to go back to Esau. And it's a process that I love to read about, the process that God brought Jacob in coming to. But the most familiar that we have concerning that process was the night before that Jacob and Esau would see face to face. And that was the night that Jacob wrestled all night with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever been to that point that you know God was leading you to do something, but you didn't want to do it? You didn't want to go down that path. And that's where Jacob was. He didn't want to face Esau because he was remembering the former things. He was remembering how it was when he left Esau. Sometimes God brings us back to that point where that we can come face to face so that we can see that things aren't the way that we thought that they were. So he says, I created you, Jacob. The very bones in his body, the very flesh upon those bones, his heart, his lungs, everything about him, God created. Everything about us, God created. He created Jacob. And he's reminding the people of Israel, and he's reminding us tonight. This that we have, it belongs to God because he created it. Just as we are, he created us. But he doesn't leave us there, not his children. He works with us. He says, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. At the end of that night, after Jacob had wrestled all night with God, we know who won, don't we? God always is going to win those wrestling matches, and I'm thankful for that, because His way is right and perfect and holy for us in everything that He leads us to do. But when Jacob had a hold of God, and I don't understand completely the logistics of everything that took place that night, but God said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And God said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but now your name will be called Israel. For you have power with God, not power over God, but power with God and power with man. You have gone from being a deceiver to being a prince. You are now Israel. So he says, I formed you. I created you, but I formed you. Who we are, the manner in which that we approach life, the manner in which that we look at things that are coming at us, God uses those situations and circumstances to form us. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, I'm tired of being politically correct, but people say, you know, I'm a victim of my circumstances. No, we're not. We are not a victim of our circumstances. God uses our circumstances to form us. God uses our circumstances to bring us into a place that He would have us to be and into a person that He would have us to be. He created us, but then He begins to form us. He is the potter and we're the clay. And how is it that the potter forms an old lump of clay into being a thing of beauty? He puts his hands to it, and someday I hope to be able to preach that sermon out, but he puts his hand to that lump of clay and it begins to turn on the cycles of the wheel. And as he puts his hand in, he puts water there and he puts the pressure. He applies the pressure until he forms that lump of clay to be what that he had in his mind that lump of clay is to be. God uses our situations to form us into being a vessel of honor unto Him. So He says to the people of Israel, and He's saying to us tonight, whatever our circumstances are, wherever that we might find ourselves to be, whatever is going on in our life at this moment, God is using that to form us, to bring us to the place where that we would be that vessel of honor in His hands to be who and what He would have us to be. He says, now, the one that's speaking to you is the Lord who created you, so therefore He knows all about me. And the one who's forming me, therefore He knows how much pressure. You know, we hear sometimes, I saw something the other day that talked about some of the untruths that are spoken about the Bible, and one of the many things that we hear all the time is, God helps those that can help themselves. That's not true. Because you know why? We can't do anything without God. We can't help ourselves. So God does not help those that help themselves. He helps the helpless. And I'm thankful for that. His hand's upon us. He's forming us. He's using that to form us. He says, I've created you. I have formed you, O Israel. Fear not. And remember, that was the message the angel said to the shepherds. That's the message that the angel said to Joseph. That's the message that throughout the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is fear not. Why? Because the Lord who created us, the Lord who formed us, He's got His hands upon us. And I'm going to tell you, it's better than being in the hands of Allstate, because we're in the great hands of the Almighty God. Not just good hands, we're in the great hands of God as He's forming us. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And we understand that redemption required the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. It required the shed blood of His darling Son. The only one who's ever lived on the face of the earth and lived in absolute and total perfection. The only one that did not deserve to die. His blood is that which was required for our redemption. Fear not. Listen, if God loves us enough that He gave His Son to die for us, if Jesus loves us enough that He died for us, which both of them is yes, He did and yes, He does, doesn't it make sense that His hand's upon us and He's forming us? He's not going to do anything to harm us. Oh, we may have our feelings hurt. We may think that it's hurting us, but God is bringing us to that place. God is forming us. He says, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. You're mine. I've called you by name. Thou art mine, He said. So as He's telling them, there's some of those things that are behind, just forget them and let them go and move on. He says, the Creator is with you, and my hands are upon you, and I'm bringing you to that place of glory. Ultimately, it's heaven. But I'm going to tell you, there's places of glory that God has prepared for us right here in this life as we go from place to place, from day to day. God has times for us when He shows His glory upon us. So He's reminding them, He's reminding us tonight, He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He is the potter. He's in control. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, He's saying anything that you go through in this life, it will not overcome you. Now, I'm not preaching a health, wealth, and prosperity sermon tonight. I'm just preaching the reality of it, that in the hands of God, we're okay. There was a saying that was popular back in the 60s that's part of the ruination of our nation today, and that is, the saying is, I'm okay and you're okay. I don't need any help. Don't help me. Don't try to help me. I can make it on my own. That's another lie that's been fed to us, spoon-fed, hand-fed, however you want to do it. We're not okay, but we have a Redeemer. who has made us accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Now, what are the waters? It's those things that are irritating. It's those things that are annoying. It's those little things that just didn't quite go into place, but they start adding up and adding up and adding up. It's the drip in the faucet that you just can't quite get it to stop, and you keep putting the pressure until the handle breaks. It's those little things that go on day by day by day that just it may cause a temporary interruption in our schedule. God says, when you're going through those things, I'm there with you. I'm there with you. Then he says, when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. The rivers, we see a lot of that on the news right now, don't we? With all the rains, and we do need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters that are in the Midwest and out in those areas where the rain has hit, and even in the state of Georgia and North Georgia and West Georgia, those places that the water is rising and rising, and what happens when the floods come? We're picked up and moved. When the tornado comes through, we've seen pictures where that it literally lifts the house up and sets it back down beside it. There are things in our lives that sometimes knock us back. There's things in our lives that sometimes for a little while it catches us off guard, and we're not ready for it. We're not prepared to deal with it, but it's hitting us and it's knocking us back until the point where we feel like that we're just ready to be destroyed. But God says, don't fear. Fear not. I'm with you. And when the rivers, they won't overflow you. God says, I won't let them overflow you. Do we understand tonight? And I know we do, but to put it in this language, do we understand that there's nothing that comes upon us that hasn't been filtered through the grace of God before it gets to us? If it wasn't filtered through His grace, there's nothing that would happen. Everything that happens to us would overflow us. The least little thing. Sometimes it seems that we get to that point, doesn't it? That the least little thing that happens next, it's just going to be more than I can bear. How can I do this? God says, fear not, I'm with you. I know you by name. I created you. I'm forming you. And I'm with you. So fear not. The rivers, they won't overflow you. They may move you to the side a little bit, but sometimes I need moving to the side. Do you? Sometimes I need a readjustment in my life. Sometimes I need to be put that place. And God allows those things to happen sometimes to put us where we need to be. Sometimes it just happens so that we'll be reminded, He's with me. He's seeing me through. And then he says that when you walk through the fire, and I love the word through. The older I get, the more I love the word through. There's a beginning, there's an end. You're going through it. When you walk through the fire, that which you just know is going to absolutely destroy you, that which you know is just fire changes everything. I'm going back now to what, 7th grade science. Fire changes the chemical makeup of wood. It doesn't destroy it, but it changes the makeup of it. I think I'm right on that. Y'all help me with that after the service if I'm wrong. But it changes the makeup, and sometimes things happen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes things happen that can make us bitter. Sometimes things happen that can make us cynical. Sometimes things happen that can just throw us completely off of our game in every way that comes upon us. But God says, when you walk through that fire, there is a beginning and there is an end. Through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a beginning and there's an end. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. I always think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they come out of that fire, the ropes that they used to tie them were burnt. Everything that was used to bind them was burnt. But they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes when they come out. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that says, I'm bringing a new thing. I'm bringing you to that place. I'm bringing you to the point where that I'm going to show you the great things of life. So he says, I just want to remind you, I am your deliverer. I am your Savior. Not only eternally, but every day in life. I am your Savior. I am the one that gets you from point A to point B, from sunup to sundown, from sundown back to sunup. I am the one. Stay focused. Stay focused on me. Verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I am the Lord thy God. He says, I am the Lord thy God. He said, I gave Egypt as a ransom for you. He's taking them back to that place where that he had brought the forefathers out of Egypt. And God made sovereign choice that night that it was to Israel he would say, apply the blood. And he made sovereign choice that night that he took the firstborn of Egypt, but not the firstborn of Israel. I want you to understand, God is sovereign. God has a will. God has a purpose. God has a reason. And He allows things to happen sometimes to bring us to that point, to bring us to that place where that we are reminded of His sovereignty. He says, I gave Egypt for you, and also I gave Ethiopia and Seba. That's referring back to the time when Asa was king, and instead of allowing the enemy to come against Jerusalem, God diverted them to Ethiopia and spared Jerusalem. Whatever's happening in our life, it could be worse. And I don't say that lightly. I really don't say that lightly. It could be worse than what we're going through right now if it were not for the grace of God filtering those things that come into our lives. He said, I'm your Lord. I'm your Lord. Go down to verse 10 with me. He reminded them, I'm your Creator. I'm the one that forms you. I am your Deliverer. I am Lord. In verse 10, he says, you are my witnesses. It's a great responsibility that comes with that. You are my witnesses. We know that salvation is absolutely, completely, entirely by the grace of God. There's nothing that we can do that would cause anyone to be born again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But God says, you are my witnesses. And I'm going to tell you, in the world of darkness that we live in, we need that light to be shining more brightly. To me, last Sunday evening when we had the candlelight service, that it was a stark reminder of what a difference one person can make and one light shining can make. And then as that begins to spread and spread and spread. And as I noticed as it began to spread, at one point I said, I can see faces now. But that wasn't exactly true. What I could see was your light. And that's what needs to be shown and seen about us more than anything else. Not me, but the light of Jesus Christ. God says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Those first things that we read in verses 1, 2, and 3, if we don't understand those things, if we don't take hold of those things, if we don't trust the absolute truth of those things, our text makes no difference to us whatsoever. But we have to take hold of that precious truth that's given to us concerning that we are His creation. We are created in Christ Jesus. We have to understand that He is our Deliverer. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's our everything. He says, you are my witnesses and my servant that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Remember those little, I know he's coming to the point of saying don't remember them, but right now, remember those little idols that you used to bow down to? Before they were, I am. At one point, and this is what threw many of the Pharisees off, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He's the eternal God. He doesn't change. Verse 11, he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I'm God. We ought to be witnesses. It's an absolute fact that all nations do not serve the same God. I don't serve a God that... I serve the only true and living God. I'm going to let it go at that. I serve the one who created, the one who delivers, the one who upholds, the one who enlightens, the one who empowers, the one who has saved me by His grace. He's the only God that's worthy of my witness. Many times I fall way too short of that. He says, you are my witnesses. Not discounting the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit. But if we aren't witnesses of God's grace, who's going to be? If we don't speak of the goodness of God, who's going to? Government's not. No matter who's in office. It isn't reliant upon the world, but us as God's children, to enlighten through our witnessing of the goodness and the power of God. Verse 13, yea, before the day was, I am He. Right there, he's referring back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's sovereign. And He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. And all of these things indicate relationship that we have with the Creator of this universe. You know, sometimes I've been caught up with this. Well, I know so-and-so. I can name-dropping. You ever drop names? Sometimes we have to, don't we? But sometimes we say, well, I know so-and-so. I've met so-and-so. And one thing I always say is, back when the band Alabama was at their height, I was in Fort Payne, Alabama, in Western Sizzling one afternoon eating lunch. And Teddy Gentry and one of the others walked past me, and I went, and they went. I said, now I know them. But I'm going to tell you, I know. When I look at a tree out here, I know the one who created that tree. When I look in the sky and I see the sun, the other night I saw the moon on Christmas Eve, how beautiful it was, even shining through the clouds. I know the one who made that and put it there. And the one who keeps it there. I know Him. And more importantly than that, He knows me. Teddy Gentry don't remember me pointing my finger and saying, how you doing, as he walked past. But my God remembers every time I call upon His name. He knows me. He knows you. We have relationship with Him. So we get back to our text. He said, all of those things that you did in the past that brought my judgment against you, forget them. Why does God tell us to forget them? It says because He's taken them and thrown them behind His back, never to be remembered again. There's times that I think back things, crazy things that I did, and literally it takes the breath right out of my lungs. God says, let it go. Let it go. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, any mistakes that we've made. He says, let them go. Don't remember those things. Behold, He says, I will do a new thing. Not I, not you, but God. God says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness. 2015 may have been a year that we just went in circles. May have been a year when we wandered around, no direction, no understanding of where we were going and what we were going to do when we get there. We were just going one step at a time and not sure what was taking place. God says, I can make a way in the wilderness. He did that for Israel, didn't He? Even with their going against Him and making an extra 40 years of being there, He made the way round and round and round about that mountain. But He made the way. And ultimately, He took them in. 2015 may have been a dry time. May have been a time when it just seemed like that just, I'm dry, I'm empty, there's just nothing there. God says, I'll cause rivers, not just a little trickle, not just a little sprinkle, not just a little stream flowing. I will make rivers. Where? In the desert. In the desert. Our God is wonderful. Our God is deserving of our praise. Our God is deserving of our witness of His goodness and His mercy and His love upon us. And no matter where we are, on the mountaintop or in the desert, God is there. You see, when we make the trip back and forth, even when we lived in Middle Tennessee or when we were in Missouri and we make the trip back and forth, if you've ever gone across Mont Eagle Mountain between Chattanooga and Nashville, have you ever been up there close to the top of the mountain and see a stream of water running? I always wanted to stop and figure out where that water was coming from. Well, I know it comes from God. But I'm going to tell you, even at the top of the mountain, there's that river that's flowing out of the mountaintop. But He says, not just out of the mountaintop, but when you're at the lowest point. When you're at a point in life that you just think that you can't put one step in front of the other. You're so dry that it's just the strength is flowing out of you. He says, I'll cause rivers to flow out of the desert. My prayer for all of us is that as we enter 2016, that we'll take God at His word. He is faithful. The choir sang it this morning, great is Thy faithfulness. And I pray that we believe that. And we witness to that. And we share that. I'm going to tell you, this world, this nation is filled with people that are hungry and thirsty and need to be reminded that our God is still on the throne. And if we don't tell them, who's going to? May we pray. Lord, it isn't easy, we confess, to forget things. It isn't easy, we confess, to let go. But Father, we believe You, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Friend, our Deliverer. We believe You, Lord. We trust You. We lean upon You. We ask You, Father, to help us that we might move back to the old paths. We would walk therein and find rest to our souls. That we would find that river of living water, and that we might find those great things that You have in store for us. Lord, You've promised a new thing is going to spring forth. Lord, help us to rejoice in it. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes and our hearts open, that we would be able to recognize Your movement in our hearts, in our minds, in our church, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation, in the world. Lord, we trust You, we love You, we thank You, and we need You. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Let us stand and sing. If you have a desire to serve the Lord at this place called the Brooklet Primitive Baptist Church, we give you the opportunity to come. Let your desires be made known, and the church will wait upon you.